It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying today in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to begin reading with the first verse. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. Please, you could check out our website. I would love for you to do that. We've got many studies there for you, our church constitution, plan of salvation. All those things are very clearly spoken there, and so please that you would look it up, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. We'd love to hear from you, and the email it would be the quickest, and so I would love to hear from you. Please that you now would look to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, beginning to read with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Because the iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." A lot of events there to take place and to look at, and it's wonderful to read God's precious word. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and enjoy this time together. We just look at verse after verse and enjoy it. Enjoy the study, enjoy the fellowship. And so please, Father, that you would guide and lead us today through this time. Show us exactly what we need to see and to learn. There's much for us to understand, especially with the calendar of events that we're looking at here. And so please, guide and lead us now. Bring those who do not know you as their Lord and Savior to you. Draw them today. Use this precious word, that it would bring them to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we take a look at what's coming here, what's taking place, and the end as we find here, they leave the area. And as they go to Mount Olives, we find that he weeps over Jerusalem. As we look at verse 37 of the previous chapter, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. So you find the events that's taking place here. And as we left off last time, we find that the teaching from the Gospel of Matthew is directed to the Jews. Israel is going to reject him as Savior. It is so sad that they have found the Messiah. It's so sad, as we have read the beginning here in verse 37 to 39 of the 23rd chapter of Matthew, that they did not receive the message that the prophets were giving. And that message was the Messiah is coming, and then the Messiah has come. As we have read, we need to rightly divide the word, and so we're here today to do just that, to enjoy and look to the word and to rightly divide it. This chapter in Matthew's gospel is not speaking of the church nor of the rapture of the church. Rather, it has to do with the time concerning, as it says, when the Lord. And so we're going to look at some verses of scripture here concerning when the Lord comes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with them when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When the Lord Jesus. Here we are talking about his full second coming. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to be all over the scripture today. There are two parts to his return. The first is what is called the rapture. He will come to get his church. That is before the tribulation begins. But his full, really second coming, when he comes and plants his feet back up on this earth, that is at the end of the tribulation. And so let's look here at Zechariah. And I've got Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. And if you got to Malachi, you're too far. Zechariah 14:4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and half of it towards the south. That is the full second coming of Jesus. And that takes place again after the tribulation period. That is not something that's going to happen in the time that we're reading here in Matthew 24. It's not something that will happen when I'm here, because I will be raptured. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to come and get His church. And I believe that is something that's going to happen very soon. If it does not, I'll continue to serve. But if it does, I am ready to be in His presence. Let's go back now to Revelation 1:7. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. The next event that's coming now is the rapture of the church. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Actually, we're going to read on down, because it gets on into the next event with this section here as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have just enjoyed a study of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then He gives these wonderful words, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But He goes on to say, But the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now we're going to stop there first. We'll pick up with that verse in just a little bit. But right now I want to back up and let you know just a little bit of background here. What was happening was the church in Thessalonica was concerned because they believed Jesus was going to come and He was going to take them away, was one side. The other side was that, you know, the whole thought of the Jews was that He's going to set His kingdom up right here and now. But since He was already back in heaven, He ascended back home again, now His hope was that He would come and get His church. Well, the problem is that folks that were born again had died. What about them? They thought He was going to come and get them, and they would not have to face the grave. They would not have to face death. And they wanted to know what's going to happen to them. What's going on here? But look at verse 13 again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that word sleep there does not mean that they're in some spiritual sleep. In other words, they are in the presence right now, awake, alive, in the presence of Jesus in heaven. He will bring their souls back and reunite them with their bodies. That's what this is talking about. That's what this is talking about. And so when He talks about death You don't think of the old body deteriorating in the grave. Because if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you truly ask Him to come into your heart and save you, if you understand that, if you've let the Holy Spirit convict your heart of your sin and you've said yes to Jesus, then the day that you die, if Jesus tarries, the day that you die, you will awaken in His presence in a split second. You're not going to feel the pain of the grave. You're not going to witness any part of that. And then there will be a day when He does come to get His church just prior to the tribulation beginning. He's going to come and get His church. Some folks believe in a pre-tribulation. In other words, He's going to come and get the church first. Some believe in a mid-tribulation. Some believe in a post-tribulation, that He's going to let us go through the tribulation period. I don't believe that for a minute. The Word of God is clear concerning Him to get His church before that tribulation, those trials come. And He's going to come and He's going to take us out, take us away, take us home. And when He takes us home, it's not going to be as those that have died and went into the grave, where their soul went into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Their soul and spirit is in the presence of Jesus. Our whole body, because we're going to receive a glorified body, but not before those that have died receive theirs. And that's what it's talking about. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel. That is the key to heaven. That's the key to eternal life. That's the key to having our sins forgiven. Right there. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So, those that have died will come with Jesus, be reunited with their bodies, but not their old, deteriorated, sinful body. It'll be a glorified body. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And that shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, that is going to be an announcement that our God is going to make that will awaken us. We, I believe, will be the only ones that's going to hear this call. The world will not. If you reject Jesus Christ, you will not hear this call. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not see us leave. We are going to leave in twinkling of an eye. I mean, it is going to be so fast that you're not going to see a single thing, but we're going to be gone. Now, some of the world will say, good riddance. But it's going to be a sad day, because that is going to usher in the tribulation period. And so what a joy to have this, because Paul wanted to tell. He knew the Lord Jesus had shown him, and he was giving them the information that they were asking for. They were worried. They were worried. What's going to happen to those that have went into the grave? They knew you, they trusted in you, and yet they died. And Paul comes and says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that word, that comfort there, is to lift them up, to show them love. And then as we continue just a little bit back here in 1 Thessalonians, it says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. Now that's kind of a strange statement there. But as he comes as a thief in the night, what does a thief do? A thief comes when the homeowner doesn't expect it. We need to be ready. The world surely isn't expecting it, but the believer should be looking for his coming. But he comes as a thief in the night. So he's going to come, and he's going to take his church away. What does a thief steal? A thief only steals those things which are of value. He doesn't steal something of no value. He doesn't come into the home and secretly come when no one knows he's coming. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes to take his church, take those that believe in him as their Savior. So they're going to come, and he's going to take those precious, precious ones out of this world before the tribulation starts, as a thief in the night. And then, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail unto a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. See, there's the difference. There's a turning point there. Those, verse 3 is those that's going into the tribulation period and at the end of the tribulation period. And then he comes right back. Paul says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not in darkness. And so it's so important that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of day, when we are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we need to be ready. We need to enjoy the day, but we need to be ready for his coming. And so that section there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is tremendous. And so it shows us what's coming. It shows us what's we will face, and also what the world is going to face. So as we come back now and we understand that there are two comings of Jesus, two stages, you could say. One is the rapture, the coming for his church that we've just read back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then the other we're going to call the revelation, because that is when he sets up his kingdom here upon earth. And we have read some of that back here in Zechariah chapter 14. But we're going to continue here because we're going to start with verse 3. And read all the way down through verse 9. We read verse 4 earlier, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave to the midst thereof, towards the east, towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like ye fled from before the earthquakes in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Now, as we close there, and let's go on, I'm sorry, just a little bit further. But it shall be one day which shall be known of the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. What a tremendous, that's Zechariah 14, verses 3 through verse 9. And as we find, and that's the discrepancy of those that say that we are post-tribulation, because we are going to come with him. It says the saints will come with him. And so again, we have two comings of the Lord Jesus, or two stages. One is the rapture of the church prior to the tribulation period. And that tribulation period is going to be 7 years of the most often, especially the last 3.5, the most awful time here upon earth. And so as we look at that, then we find the second coming, or the revelation, as we stated it, sets up his kingdom here on earth. And what wonderful words. Now let's go to the New Testament first, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament again. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Next event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And I hope that you know Jesus, because I don't want you to have to go into that tribulation period. And so if you die without Jesus, the scripture we've just read confirms that if you would die today without Jesus, and Jesus would come and get his church today, you will wait 7 years and then 1,000 years in that grave. Your soul will be in torment, awaiting only the final judgment that's going to cast you into the lake of fire for eternity. Now, why would you not choose Jesus? Why would anyone refuse Jesus? Why would some religious leaders not preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus? Why would someone not want to come by faith to Jesus and be born again? Why? Why? Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we will rule and reign with him that 1,000 years. We read that back in Zechariah, where we'll come and we'll rule and reign with him then the 1,000 years. What a joy. Instead of that, you're going to be in a place of torment that 1,000 years, only waiting a worse place for eternity. Let's go back to Isaiah 11. I think we've got enough time to read this before we're finished for the day. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyewitnesses, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteous shall be a girdle of his loins, and the faithfulness of the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf with the young lion, and the fatlings together with the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, which shall be together, and the lion shall eat the straw of the oxen. so much there. We'll reread that again next time we come together. I knew we were running out of time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?